Now, Jean is going to bring us the reading from God's Word, found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 30. Thank you, Jean.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from Matthew 11, verses 20 to 30. On page 816 in the Church Bible. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it would be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord's Word.
Thank you, Jane. Well, how are you this morning? Are you sailing through life? Is it all like a calm sea, just as we described it earlier on, and everything seems to be going just fine? Or are you facing problems in life? Are you feeling weighed down? Are you anxious? Are you struggling? Are you troubled in heart? Are you burdened this morning? Well, I want to turn you back to Matthew chapter 11 and to an invitation that's given to us. Chapter 11 and verse 28, words that are very familiar. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here is an invitation. Well, I don't know whether anybody was invited to the coronation a few weeks ago. Maybe none of us quite got to that kind of position. We didn't get an invitation from the king to his coronation, but here is an invitation from the King of Kings. Come. Come to me. It's not addressed to the rich and the famous, to world leaders or celebrities, not to the clever or the educated, the good or the worthy, or the weary and the burdened. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, who are burdened down, who have great weights upon their shoulders. And is that you this morning? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling a failure? Are you feeling trapped and you don't know how to get out of a situation? Well, just think about, first of all, the people who are invited, and then we'll see what Jesus promises to them. The people who are invited, those who labor, those who are weary. The word for labor here means hard toil. You know what it is when you come home from a really, really heavy day and you just want to flop in the chair and you just and go to sleep. You're exhausted. All you who labor, all those who are exhausted with the pressures and are heavy laden. It's like someone bearing a heavy load, carrying something big and heavy that weighs them down, heavy laden. Come to me, all you who labor, who are weary, exhausted, and are burdened down. Is that you this morning? Are you like this? What might make someone like this? Why might we be weary and heavy laden? Well, if we're trying to save ourselves, it can be like that. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees were the really serious religious people, and they laid many requirements on the people. They gave them so many detailed laws to keep. If you want to be accepted by God, you've got to keep all these laws. There are hundreds of laws. Laws on how far you could walk on the Sabbath and how much you could carry on that day and laws about tithing and all sorts of laws. And you've got to keep all these laws and there's just such a heavy load that was laid upon people. And Jesus says that they lay upon people heavy burdens, although they don't touch them with one finger. But they lay upon other people these great burdens. They were so legalistic. You must keep the rules to be saved. It was so demanding, so unrelenting. And there were those who were burdened with all that in Jesus' time. Now maybe it's not quite the same kind of context today. But maybe we're trying to be good. You're just trying to be good. You're just saying, well, I just want God to accept me. And so I'm trying hard. But it seems like hard work. And you're asking yourself, how can I be good enough? I never seem to be able to quite make it, never seem to quite achieve it. You try to keep the rules, but you're aware of your failure. You go to church, you say your prayers, you give to charity. You just want some peace to say, well, actually, God has accepted me. Like a lady called Sahar in Iran. She grew up in a Muslim home, although her parents were not strict Muslims. But she tried to be a strict Muslim. She tried to be a good Muslim. She kept all the requirements of Islam. She tried hard. For 20 years she tried. But she said, I felt there was no answer. It didn't seem to get her anywhere. All it did was weigh her down with all the religious requirements that were laid upon her, and she was aware of her failure. She was no answer. There was no peace. So we'll be weighed down with just trying to find peace with God. Maybe it's the pressure of trying to match up. To match up to other people's expectations. You want to be accepted by others. You want to be liked. You want to be loved. You want to be in the in crowd. You want to be embraced by others. Or maybe you want to match up to your husband or to your wife. And you're feeling a pressure that somehow you're never quite that perfect partner. Or maybe to other Christians, and you're saying, well, you want others to say, well, what a great chap you are or great girl you are. Or maybe to match up to your own expectations. That you set yourself a high standard and yet you can never quite achieve it. Maybe how you look becomes all important. What you wear, your body shape, how well you keep up with social media, how you perform in all sorts of ways. You're trying to impress, trying that others might look at you and admire you. Maybe for you men, you're trying to work out what real manhood is. And in the feminist world we live in, that men are sometimes feeling, well, where do I fit?
and they're feeling demasculinized, where do I fit in? And you're trying to find your identity. Maybe you're trying to find your identity in gender and sexuality even. Or maybe you're burdened because you're seeking happiness in the world. You're never quite satisfied. You're chasing the things of this world. I must have this. I must have that. And when you've got it, it's something else. You need something else just to satisfy you and to make life worthwhile. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Continue trying to better yourself. You're slave to the adverts, perhaps. If only I had this, if only I had that. Sometimes you can't afford it. And sometimes you stretch yourself too far because you want to get it. You're chasing the world. You're chasing that career because you feel that will make you something. What might be in finding the perfect relationship? You're looking for Mr. Perfect or Miss World? And somehow you're never quite getting there. Happiness seems so elusive. The world never seems to stand still long enough for you to really feel content. You're always chasing for something else, for something more. Maybe it's a burden of a broken life. We know we've gone our own way. We know we've acted according to our own folly. We've made bad decisions. And what's been the result? Maybe it's left us with baggage and brokenness. It's left us with troubled relationships, broken families. Maybe it's left us with slavery to selfishness that drives us on, or left us with a life of bad habits and wrong attitudes, with bitterness, the longing for revenge, with bitter disappointment. All sorts of things can happen when we go our own way and we react to it. We react to life circumstances bitterly as well, and sin twists us. And we say, if only life had been more simple. If only you hadn't done those things, if only life had been a straight path, but it's complicated your life, brought on you guilt and shame, enslaved you to wrong attitudes. And you just wish you could be a different person. You wish you could put the past behind you. Or maybe you're burdened because of the sufferings of life. Maybe bereavement has destroyed you inside. Or maybe you're disappointed, bitterly disappointed, because the person you had hoped to be your life partner, it never worked out. And you rue that day that it didn't work out. Maybe you've been a victim of prejudice or of abusive relationship or unfair treatment. Maybe you've had disappointments that have destroyed your hopes, and all that you planned to do has just fallen flat. Life hasn't turned out as you had hoped. The sufferings of life bear you down, and you feel exhausted with it all, burdened with it all. Are you bearing heavy burdens this morning? Trying to be good, trying to match up, trying to get satisfaction from the world, the sufferings of life, the damage of bad decisions that we've made. Are you feeling weary with life? Does life seem hard? Do you feel oppressed? Well, this invitation is for you. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, whoever you are, it matters not.
you're in. I think I might even have given the children's address here. I don't remember that the little girl came to the pastor at the end of a service and said to him, the pastor, I'm so pleased to hear that my name is in the Bible. He said, well, what is your name? He said, Edith. He said, I'm sorry, Edith, your name isn't in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. I heard you read it this morning, that this man receiveth sinners and Edith with them. And so she obviously misunderstood Edith for Edith. But it's a great truth, isn't it, that Jesus does receive sinners and Edith with them. He receives you with them and me with them. We're all invited, no matter who you are or what your name is. So here is the invitation that is given to us. But who is the person who invites us? The people who are invited are the burdened and heavy laden, but who is the person who invites us? Come to me, he says. I am the answer you seek, the answer to your wearisome labors. I can lift the burdens you bear. There is another way to live. I can still the storm that's raging in your life. This is Jesus, of course, isn't it, speaking. But how can he say this? How can Jesus claim to be able to give us rest? Who does he think he is? Is he some megalomaniac who thinks so much of himself, some egotist who just thinks too much of himself? You know, we get politicians who sometimes say, well, I've got to change the country, I'm going to solve your problems, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and of course they fail, don't they? Jesus just like that, just another one. Who does he think he is? Well, he tells us who he is, doesn't he? Here in verse 27, he is the Son of God. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He is the Son of God. We read in John that in him is all fullness, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. There is a fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is more than a man. He has what we don't have. Only the Father truly knows him. That's a tremendous thing, isn't it? There's a tremendous mystery about who Jesus is. There's a depth to him that none of us can penetrate, as we were discussing with the children earlier on. He is not just a mere man. He's not even a good man or a great man, but the divine man, the fullness of God in human form. So Jesus speaks with a tremendous authority and power. He has resources that we cannot possibly imagine. He is the Son of God. Fully God as well as fully man. He says he's the only one who can reveal the Father to us. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He alone can bring us close to God. He alone can bring us to know God himself. God has come down into this world as God the Son, is the one who can, with whom we can meet with God and know God the Father too. Jesus brings us to him. And in doing so, he shows us the true secret, or the secret to true life and peace and rest. He reveals to us the Father's love and grace. He reveals to us the Father's welcoming arms. Matthew Henry, the commentator, says, the happiness of man is an acquaintance with God. It is life eternal. The happiness of man is not found in the worldly things. It's in an acquaintance with God. To know God is the true happiness of man, and it is life eternal. It is here that our searchings are ended. It is here that we find real home. Without God, we are wandering. We are lost. We are like sheep who are straying. When we come to God, we come home. And it is Jesus who brings us there. So it is Jesus who is the answer to our need. Says, you're weary. You're burdened. Come to me. In the earlier part of the reading that Jean read to us, you know, Jesus was denouncing cities that where Jesus had done many mighty works, many miracles, but they rejected him. They didn't believe in him. And Jesus laments that fact, and he warns them. You think you're okay, but actually, you are failing to repent. You're failing to turn to me. You're failing to turn from your sin and to turn to me as your Savior, and that's a disaster for you. Judgment awaits you. He warns them of the judgment that awaits them. He says to us, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Oh, they were too proud. They thought they knew. Be humble. Be childlike. Recognize your need. Come to me. The Father reveals Christ to those who are of childlike faith, not those who think they know it all already and pride themselves in doing it their own way. He reveals Christ to those who come with a childlike faith, who come with their nothingness and their emptiness, who come with their weakness and their poverty, who come with their burdens that they cannot get rid of, and they come to one who can solve those problems for them. They realize they are helpless, and they come to Christ. So the people to whom the invitation is given are the weary and heavy laden. The person who gives this invitation is Jesus himself, the Son of God. But what is the promise that he makes? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a lovely word, rest, isn't it? It's a wonderful word. When you are burdened, when you are overwhelmed, when everything is upon you and you can just sit down and relax and rest, and those burdens are lifted off your shoulder. It's the end of our strivings. It is rest from labor and toil. It is release from the heavy burdens that we bear. And how do we find that rest? Jesus, you find it when you take my yoke upon you. In verse 29, take my yoke upon you. So what does that mean? To take Jesus' yoke upon us. Well, it means to trust ourselves to him. It means to become his disciples. It means to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in two ways we can see that. First of all, to put our faith in him. Taking Jesus' yoke upon us means that we identify with him. We put our faith in him. We trust in him. We give ourselves to him. And he saves us from the burdensome yoke because he doesn't save us through what we do. He saves us by his grace. In Acts chapter 15, there was discussion should we admit non-Jews into the church just as they are, or have they got to keep all the Jewish laws and all the ceremonies and all those kind of things? And Peter says, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. We're not saved by trying to do things and accomplish things. We're saved by through the grace of the Lord Jesus, through his kind, free favor. Saves us not according to what we have done, but according to his own free kindness to us. None of our efforts can ever save us. We can stop trying to be good to impress God and to find acceptance with him, because we can never be good enough. But now we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he deals with all that. No amount of rule-keeping or doing religious things will ever save us from our sin. No amount of our efforts can make peace with God, but Jesus has made peace with God. He brings forgiveness for our sins. Complete, total, utter, complete, total forgiveness. By his death upon the cross, he has paid for all the sins of all who believe in him. We don't have to keep the rules to find God's favor anymore. We just come to Christ, and he lifts that burden of guilt and the burden of law-keeping and the burden of trying to do those things that are taken away from our shoulders. God accepts us in Christ without us having to do those things. He forgives the past, those sins that trouble us, those things that make us ashamed, those false ways of living, those ways that have destroyed us.
the idolizing of ourselves, trying to impress and making ourselves at the center of everything, because that's what it's all about, isn't it, really? When we're trying to impress, we're saying, look at me, I'm the center of attention. Delivers us from that idolizing of ourselves. He delivers us from chasing the things of our lusts and pleasures. Those things that drive us on, chasing for more and more. He delivers us from that. We don't need that anymore. We don't need that to find life anymore. We don't need to find our identity in those kind of things anymore. All our efforts to find acceptance and meaning and identity are over. When we come to Christ, He receives us as we are. We find in Him the love of God. He accepts us, welcomes us. He says, now you are forgiven, now you are my child, now you belong to me. Now you have come home. Now you have found life. Now you have come to the Father. And that is where life and happiness really comes in. In your suffering, burdened with suffering, well, Christ brings hope. Yes, there may be suffering in this life, but what is that compared with the eternity that He promises to us in glory? Brings us the rainbow that shines through the clouds of suffering. We can say there's light at the end of this tunnel, however hard life may be, whatever it may throw at me, Christ has given me eternal life. Glory with Him forever. This is what Christ brings. The rest of hope, the rest of forgiveness, the rest of peace, the rest of acceptance. It's all in Him. We don't have to strive for those things anymore. It doesn't matter what other people think of us anymore. It doesn't matter whether we have this or that in the world anymore. Our sins that burden us are now gone. Christ brings hope through the cross, through bearing our sin, dying the death that we deserve, that we might be forgiven and brought to know peace with God. What a wonderful thing this is. Come to me, He says. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Become my disciple. Come to me. But believing, trusting in Him is one thing, but also it leads on to living a new life. Because it may surprise us. We might say, well, He gives us rest and full stop. But He says, no, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke. Coming to Jesus means starting a new life. It's not the rest of doing nothing. Not the rest of sitting there on the beach or lying down on the beach in the sunshine, just sleeping the day away. That's not the rest that Jesus promises us. He gives us a yoke, okay. What is a yoke? Well, before the days of tractors, you'd plow with horses or with oxen or whatever it might be, and you put a yoke on them. And that yoke would draw the plow, whatever. Or maybe in the days before the water on the tap, you go out with your buckets and a yoke around your neck and a bucket on each side and fill them up at the well and you bring them home again. So it's a yoke that's around your shoulders. A yoke that's supposed to help you carry the load. It was used by the Jews to describe man's obligations to God, to keep His law, to keep His commandments. And as we saw, the Pharisees increased that burden. But even if we don't have that burden, we all come under some kind of yoke. We're all in the service of something or someone. The things that drive us on, or the service of sin and selfishness, the service of the world and its pressures and all those kind of things, they're yokes and they're heavy and they weigh us down. But Jesus said, take my yoke. My yoke isn't a heavy yoke. You're not going to stumble under this yoke. This yoke is easy. It's light. It brings rest. How can that be? He doesn't set us a lower standard, does He? He even says, you're to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. So what does He mean? This isn't rest for the body. This is rest for the soul.
Lady Sahar in Iran, we mentioned earlier on, who was trying to be a good Muslim, she knew the cost of following Jesus. She was rejected by her husband, and she remembers going right off in the taxi, wondering if she'll ever see her children again. But Jesus' yoke is easy. He's gentle and lowly in heart. We'll find rest in the service of Christ, following Christ rather than following the world or following sin or whatever it might be. It is easy. Why? Because he's not harsh with us, but gentle and humble. We have a kind master. I don't know what sort of boss you've got at work, whether it's someone who's trying to get blood out of a stone, trying to drive you on, or whether you've got a kind boss who's understanding. When you have a problem, they understand. When you need to take time out because for compassionate leave, now they're understanding. Well, Jesus is understanding. He understands our weakness and our failures. He doesn't follow us around with a whip, seeking to condemn us for every slip in life. He is patient with us. Again, Matthew Henry says this, "So suitable the encouragement, so strong the consolations that are to be found in the way of duty, that we may truly say is a yoke of pleasantness." The encouragement, the consolations that the Lord Jesus gives us along the way. He loves us. He cares for us. He's gentle with us. It is the service of liberty. The yoke of Jesus, wearing that doesn't bring us under the condemning finger of the law. The law that says if you don't match up, then you'll be condemned. That's what the law says. If you fail, you'll die. No, it's not like that. We serve as those who are set free from that fear of condemnation. We're set free from the mastery of other things. We serve now as children, not as slaves. We serve in liberty because Christ has set us free. Those other things have fallen away. Now we serve Christ. Going back to Sahar again. In Iran, the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart. And this is what he impressed upon her. You are my daughter. I chose you. You will serve among women. And she said, Jesus was worth the price. He was worth the price. The service of being set free at liberty. And it's the service of love. A good husband will gladly serve his wife, and a good wife will gladly serve her husband. It is no hardship to do that, is it? Or parents serve their children, and children serve their parents. There's no hardship, because we love them. When we serve Christ, not out of compulsion, not because we're driven on, not because we have to, not because we're trying to be accepted, but because we love him. Because he first loved us. And Paul opens up for us the whole scheme of salvation in the book of Romans, and he says, oh, just look at what God has done for you. And then he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by all the merciful things he's done for you, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. All that God has done for you. The natural reaction is, what can I do? What can I give? Just give yourself to him. Because we love him. His commandments are not burdensome, John says in his first letter. His commandments are not burdensome, they are a delight. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We trust him. He delivers us from all of those things that have burdened us. We serve him now because he is gentle and humble with us. It's the service of liberty, the service of love. Knowing Christ, coming to him, this is life. This is freedom from the oppression of doing it our way. Jesus invites you. He offers you rest for your soul. Have you come to him? Will you come to him? Will you trust yourself to him? Will you hear his word of kindness and love and mercy and give your life to him and say, Lord Jesus, you are the answer that I need. You are the refuge. You are the place of rest. Oh, take away my sin. Take away my burdens. Take away all this pressure to live the world's way, to impress everybody else. Lord, I trust in you. I follow you. Respond to his invitation. Come to me. Come empty-handed. No catch. Just come empty-handed to Christ. If you've already come, oh, let us be thankful to him. Let us be thankful for the life that we now live. Sometimes we can perhaps grow a little restless ourselves because we get the wrong impression. Let's wear his yoke with joy. Let's not think of Christianity as being an imposition, but may we remember again what a blessing it is to belong to Christ, to follow him and serve him, where we know his peace and rest in our souls. And may we pass on the invitation to those around us who are still struggling with those burdens and say, I know someone who can give you rest. Amen. We shall just spend a moment in reflection and then I'll pray. And just to think through what this means to you. In what way are you burdened? In what way can Christ bring rest to your soul? Lord Jesus, we thank you for that kindness and tenderness of your heart that reaches out to us, bids us come. We thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary, whereby you wash away our sin, bring us into new life, to peace with God, a new relationship. Lord, help us to live in your service, and to count it our joy and pleasure to rest in you. May you be all things to us, we pray. Amen.